what you're here for.
Bring everything out closer to the people.
Uh-uh, we got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify.
Trouble.
Radio Basics.
And there's always a message involved.
Greetings, Toronto. You're listening to Radio Basics on CHOY 105.5 FM. I'm one of your hosts for tonight, Steve De Silva,
alongside... And I am the second one, Micaiah, in the house.
What's up? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. How you doing, Steve?
Good, good. I heard you just got back from Brooklyn.
I sure did. And we have a special interview from New York City that we're going to play a little bit later.
You want to give us a hint?
Really great rapper, was on Raucous, now is on Duck Down Records. The great...
Who's that?
Pharoah Monch.
What?
Yeah.
Pharoah Monch. Also, very important, in the studio with us tonight is Jose Figueroa, joined by his son, Jose Ivan Figueroa. Jose Figueroa has been a refugee here in Canada for more than 14 years, living in Canada, father of three, a husband, well integrated into his community in Langley, BC. He is now facing a deportation order on the basis of his long ago affiliation with the FMLN organization in El Salvador, which the government of Canada is now trying to claim as a terrorist organization and is trying to deport Jose Figueroa on that basis. For those of people who don't know, FMLN is the ruling party in El Salvador and was the liberation organization that fought a brutal civil war against a brutal, brutal fascist dictatorship, killed many people. Jose Figueroa has been touring Canada, traveling by foot and also by hitchhiking. He's in the studio with us tonight. He is now in Toronto. He's going to be talking to us about his harrowing case and experiences for trying to gain status here in Canada. But before that, we got headline news.
We do. We have a couple headlines, being that it's Monday. A lot happens over the weekend. In international news today, New York budget cuts. The Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York and top lawmakers have agreed on a $132.5 billion budget that will cut more than $2 billion in health care and education costs while giving millionaires a tax break. Typical, typical. Despite a budget shortfall, Cuomo opposed extending a tax surcharge on New Yorkers with personal earnings of more than $200,000 a year. The new budget drew staunch criticism from advocates of increased education aid who say the cuts will disproportionately impact students in low-income and middle-class districts. Mm-hmm. As I said, extremely typical, but still extremely unacceptable. There have been a number of major developments in Libya over the weekend, where rebel fighters, aided by airstrikes by U.S. and allied forces, have recaptured several cities. Rebels are now heading to the hometown of Gaddafi. President Obama is scheduled to speak at the National Defense University tonight, this night, Monday, and defend the U.S. military mission in Libya. On Sunday, U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates admitted the U.S. military will have a role in Libya for some time. For the people who didn't know that or didn't expect that, that's what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. Robert Gates stated, "We have not seen any of Gaddafi's planes fly since the mission started. We have suppressed his air defenses. I think we have also been successful on the humanitarian side." I feel like humanitarian side and U.S. military mission should be an oxymoron.
Yes, yes. And we're going to be exploring this issue on the show today where we're going to have a brother in the studio with us today who was part of a liberation movement, who was fighting a dictatorship that is known to have killed and massacred up to 80,000 people. Mm. And yet he is now facing a deportation order on the basis that his organization was a terrorist organization. So clearly we see there's a huge contradiction. Well, a contradiction in appearance, but in essence, perhaps not a contradiction at all.
Right. In local news, with the city of Toronto facing an unexpected budget shortfall of $785 million, Mayor Rob Ford is demanding belt tightening across all departments, which includes the police department. The police force has launched a service review to help get the city budget under control. The chief emphasized that public safety and response to emergencies will not be compromised, but his spokesman said core services will still be examined for savings opportunities. My personal translation of this quote is, "We will continue to harass innocent civilians and sometimes kill them and always get away with it. But we will consider buying our coffee from Tim Hortons as opposed to Starbucks to help Rob Ford's Stop the Gravy Train." In hip hop,
I'd share that translation.
That's my translation of the quote. In hip hop headlines today, March 28th, 2011 marks the 12-year anniversary of the killing of Freaky Ty from the Lost Boys, the Queens rap group. Freaky Ty was shot in the head outside a Queens hotel in 1999, and I officially feel old because I remember this just like it was yesterday. And that's all for the headlines today, folks. It's what we decided to touch on. There's always a lot more going on, but in our one-hour show, we pick what we feel is important to talk about.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to be going to a commercial break in a few minutes, but before that, a very important song, a song that's very, very near and dear to me and as well to many, many Central Americans, and I'm sure as well our guest in the studio with us tonight. This is Ali Primera, El Sombrero Azul.
Amor por la humanidad. quitarse las canas del amor que tienes tú. Dale, salvadoreño, dale, que no hay pájaro pequeño, dale, que después de alzar el vuelo, dale, que detenga en su volar.
Greetings, Toronto. This is Radio Basics. We're back here on CHLY 105.5 FM, and we have a couple of very important guests in the studio with us tonight, Jose Figueroa and Jose Jr., Jose Ivan Figueroa. Jose Figueroa faces deportation now. He has been in Canada for more than 14 years. He has three Canadian-born children, a wife, a family in Langley, BC, and he is now facing deportation by the Canadian government for his past affiliation with the Farabundo Marti National Liberation Front, which throughout the 1980s and 90s was fighting a brutal civil war against a fascist dictatorship which killed as many as 80,000 people. They were the resistance, they were for the people, and now Jose Figueroa, due to his past affiliations, faces a deportation order. Although the FMLN is now the ruling party in El Salvador after its March 2009 electoral victory, and even though the FMLN has never been on Canada's list of officially designated terrorist organizations, Canadian immigration officials are setting their own laws when it comes to people like Jose Figueroa. Anyone having resisted state terrorism by force of arms is considered a terrorist and cannot be permitted Canadian citizenship, or this according to the precedent that Canada is looking to set. Jose Jr., thank you for being in the studio with us tonight.
Thank you, Steve.
Good, welcome, Jose Jr. How are you tonight?
I am fine today.
Thank you guys so much for being in the studio. It's so important to have you here. I understand that you have been walking and hitchhiking all across Canada to bring your story and your message and your experience to Canadian people.
Yes, we started this trip in last Friday on the 18th. And basically, well, we have come along very fast. The reason why we have been coming this fast to Toronto, it's because we have been talking to Canadians, and Canadians are listening. They do understand what the issues are in this situation, and they are willing to help. And they have helped us so much. So we came here very fast.
Mm-hmm. So what cities have you passed through so far?
Well, we started up on Vancouver. Vancouver, the first hitchhiking that we had to do was from our house to the bus depot, because people helped us in Vancouver to move from there to Kamloops. And we went to Kamloops, Calgary, then Regina, and then we knew about these important events happening here in Toronto. And in Regina, we were helped to get to Toronto.
So you've been meeting with people, local organizations across the country as you've been going along, telling people your story.
Yes, I think that is very important what we are doing. We are trying to reach to Canadians. What I mean is people, ordinary people, like you or anybody. My son and I have been walking through these cities and talking to people on the buses, talking to people on the libraries. And actually, we have had a very important outcome of this. We were in Kamloops, and we were talking with a lady. Her name is Jennifer. I don't remember her last name. Yet, we explained to her about our situation. And just a couple of days ago, we learned that she had written a letter to the Minister of Public Safety. And she had already received a letter from the Minister of Public Safety on response on her letter.
Which was about your case?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think this is a very important thing that we need to share with the community.
Mm-hmm.
The Minister of Public Safety, basically, on his response to Jennifer, is stating that they cannot speak on this matter with her because they don't have my consent to speak about it. Well, the message that we want to say is, this is a problem that concerns all the community, and we are willing to share a consent with Jennifer or anybody who writes to the minister so that they can follow up and ask the Canadian government to give a solution to this situation. The rights of my family, the rights of Canadian kids are at stake.
So please explain for the sake of our listeners who aren't familiar with your case and the We Are Jose campaign. Tell us your story. How is it that you found yourself in this situation? You've been here for 14 years. Many Canadians may be thinking to themselves, how is it that somebody can be here for 14 years and now be facing a deportation order? How is that the case?
Well, I think that the Canadian immigration system really doesn't make any sense. One particular thing about this case is that in 1997, when I first came into Canada, I did declare to the immigration about my affiliation with FMLN.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the question will be, why is it that in 1997, this possible inadmissibility didn't come up through then,
mm-hmm.
but it had to happen 13 years? That really doesn't make sense any sense to me.
Well, how do you make sense of it? And mind you, we're having this conversation at a time when the Canadian military has just invaded another country, is now bombing a country, and it's doing so under the pretenses of humanitarianism and to help a people. This is what they're saying. This is the justification they've given for invading Libya, to help a people who are fighting against a dictatorship. How do you make sense of that contradiction in relation to your own case, which seems to be the very opposite? They're criminalizing you.
I think that this situation doesn't make any sense to anybody. Still, to me, even though we have gathered so much information during the past year, still we need to get deep into the mind of people that make the law in order to understand how they understand humanity. With this decision of deportation, based on the allegations that they have established, the Canadian government is basically sending a very bad message to not only to Canadians, but to the world. They are telling people that are being oppressed in other countries that if they are being oppressed, do not stand up, do not speak up. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you will be tagged as a terrorist here in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, well, in fact, your case is, in the particulars, maybe very unique. But the Canadian government actually has a very long history of criminalizing those who are associated with any movements for liberation. For example, Canada, for a long period of time throughout the 80s, right into the 1990s, would not allow into the country as refugees those from Southern Africa who were fighting against apartheid. They have always criminalized and prevented those in Palestine who have been associated with any of the political organizations in Palestine. And of course, in the last 1 or 2 years, no Canadian will be unfamiliar with the fact that when there were boatloads of Tamil refugees fleeing a civil war where some 40,000 people had been massacred in front of the whole world by the Sri Lankan government, while the Canadian government not only sat by and did nothing, in fact, they assisted the Sri Lankan government by sending the Sri Lankan government aid at a time when they were committing a genocide. And at the same time, they provided indirect assistance by criminalizing Tamils here in Canada. When a boatload of Tamils came, they automatically labeled them as terrorist suspects. And in fact, they were able to introduce new immigration laws pertaining to refugees, suggesting that anybody who doesn't come by the legitimate means will be criminalized. And they use the Tamils as a basis for this. So we see it's really not unique. Canada wants to criminalize those who are associated with any movements for any freedom fights or any liberation movements.
Well, I think that that happens not only here in Canada. It happens mm-hmm. everywhere. You remember just some month ago in Chile, the case of the Mapuches, the Indians, they were arrested and they mm-hmm. were given charges of terrorism. That word is very... It's a word that is misused mm-hmm. in many parts of the world.
Indeed.
In El Salvador, the regime used that term in order to try to justify the repression against the organized people in El Salvador. I was a member of a student union. Mm-hmm. We stood up against what the Salvadoran government was doing at that time, mm-hmm. and they used those terms. The same is happening everywhere, and of course, here in Canada, it's not the difference. I think that there mm-hmm. is a need to try to deconstruct the definition of terrorism mm-hmm. and rebuild it on the basis of reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting you bring that perspective from El Salvador. Many Canadians, with all of the propaganda that we've been exposed to since 9/11, many people will only remember what's come after September 11th in terms of how they understand what a terrorist is. Immediately, due to the racist nature of propaganda, immediately the image that comes to mind is a Muslim. But you're telling us that the use of the discourse and the language and all the laws associated with terrorism and anti-terrorism, actually you've seen it in a regime. You lived it. You experienced it.
Exactly. I think that's Salvadorans. We have a clear understanding of what terrorism is. We suffer under the Salvadoran regime in the 80s. We fought against that, and we actually won on it. Right now, El Salvador is undergoing a process of reconciliation, a process of mm-hmm. trying to consolidate a peace agreement that was that was signed in 1992. Mm-hmm. And basically, I think that right now this emphasizes this contradiction that is embedded in this decision. People don't understand that. Some people ask me, for instance, the Canadian government is not saying, or say the Canadian government is not saying that FMLN is a terrorist organization, because they think that they have an embassy here, they have diplomatic relations with El Salvador, they have a trade agreement that they just mm-hmm. basically finished, and they are not saying that. But what we have to understand is that the Canadian government, as the same as our government in El Salvador, is divided into different parts, the executive, mm-hmm. the judiciary, mm-hmm. in this case. They have two different opinions about the same group.
Mm-hmm.
So the executive, the ministers, they consider FMLN as a democratically elected government.
Mm-hmm.
But the judiciary are just kicking the back of many, many Salvadorans that are members of FMLN or were members of FMLN. So that contradiction cannot be. Canada cannot have it both ways, or does
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
So and this brings me to this other aspect. If we go on the rules that CBSA's officers,
Canadian Border Security Agency,
they have a definition of this. The allegation is a foreign section 34.1 of the RPA states that a foreign national is inadmissible on the grounds of security grounds.
Mm-hmm.
For being a member of an organization that there are reasonable grounds to believe is or was a terrorist organization.
Okay, now who defines it?
Yeah. Let's say this concept, reasonable grounds to believe. Well, in one part of the immigration law, they explained this to the CBSA officers. They say, well, the concept of reasonable grounds to believe, if you give to two ordinary people the same facts about something, and these two ordinary people reach to the same conclusion, then you can certainly say that there are reasonable grounds to believe something has happened. Hmm. But let's apply it to this case. Well, let's pick two ordinary people, the Canadian government, the ministers, and the judiciary in this case. Mm-hmm. Well, both have the same information about FMLN, but they have reached to different conclusions. So the definition of reasonable grounds doesn't apply. Yet the judiciary decided to deport us just because these people don't understand their own laws. I think I'm just applying the logic.
I mean, the legal logic seems to make sense, but knowing the Conservative government and really all the other parties in Parliament, it seems like maybe they want to make an example. I can't really figure out any other way given what they've done to Tamils, given what they've done to so many other groups, given that even many of the organizations that are on the terrorist list that are liberation movements, right? They're not. You can't call an organization with, you know, 100,000 members and widely supported by a whole nation of people a terrorist organization. You basically called all the people terrorists.
Exactly. That's something mm-hmm. that needs to be analyzed deeply on this situation. You know, if they deport me on these grounds, because they do have diplomatic relations with the FMLN, they are deporting me not because I had done anything wrong. I have done anything bad in my country. I just stood up for the rights of my people, along with the many organizations. Mm-hmm. But what happens if they do deport me on this? Well, there's the diaspora here in Canada of Salvadorans.
Yes.
Is over 150,000 Salvadorans
in Canada.
In Canada, they are deporting me only because I was a member and because the judiciary mm-hmm. in Canada had determined that FMLN is a terrorist organization.
And clearly
they are saying it clearly like that.
It seems like they may be trying to send a message to the rest of the Salvadorian community, and indeed all of those communities whose people come from traditions of struggle or who are fighting some kind of dictatorship, fascist government, military occupation, in a state of civil war. I can think of many, many communities in Canada, the Somali community, the Salvadorian community, past and present, right? The Palestinian community, the Filipino community, the Tamil community. I mean, the list can go on and on. And it seems like what this does is it introduces a great amount of fear amongst
yes.
people in Canada who come from places where the people were struggling for freedom and liberation.
Yes, people are scared, I tell mm-hmm. you. The Salvadoran community is scared of speaking up for their own rights. I have talked to many Salvadorans, mm-hmm. and they, you know, some members of FMLN, they don't call themselves members. They mm-hmm. call them sympathizers or supporters of the FMLN
yeah.
because this fear that this is created, and this has been coming for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing new right now. I think mm-hmm. that it's very important that the community start thinking more about mm-hmm. these situations. And, well, I apply logic on this situation,
yeah.
and that's how I defend myself. I didn't have a lawyer to defend myself. I was forced to study the law.
Yeah.
And
of course, this is the way most Canadians would try to think through this problem. But here on Radio Basics, we try to look at the political dimensions of these issues as well. I want to talk a little bit about your campaign before you finish up. We Are Jose. I'm on your website right now, wearejose.wordpress.com or wearejose.com. You have this beautiful signal symbol for your campaign. It's like a my name is whatever but sticker, but it's We Are Jose. I want to play a little clip off your website and let's talk a little bit about the campaign.
I'm Kim Rink.
My name is Shandra Carlson.
My name is Carolyn.
I'm an architect. I live in Langley, BC.
I am a Ryder Speck. I live in Langley, BC.
I'm a midwife. wife from Langley, B.C.
I am Jose.
I am Jose.
I am Jose.
I am a sales rep from Langley, B.C., and I am Jose.
I'm a politically engaged citizen from Sorrento, B.C., and I am Jose.
I am Jose.
And I am Jose.
I am Jose.
I am James Paulbrecht from Langley, B.C., and I am Jose.
I am a social worker from Newfoundland, living in New Westminster, and I am Jose.
I am Jose.
I am Jose.
My name is Ko, and I am Jose.
I'm a youth worker from Vancouver, and I am Jose.
I am a lifeguard from Surrey, and I am Jose.
And I am Jose.
I am Jose.
I am Jose.
I am Jose.
My name is Emily Hedrick, and I am Jose.
I am a pastor from Abbotsford, and I am Jose.
I am a teacher from Langley, and I am Jose.
I'm an actress from Toronto, and I am Jose.
I am Andrew Pike, a retired Anglican priest from Vancouver, British Columbia, and I am Jose.
My name is Jamie Moffat, director of Return to El Salvador, and I am Jose.
That's actually a great documentary, by the way. Jamie Moffat's documentary, Return to El Salvador. People should check that out. And that was one of many, many videos uploaded to wearejose.com, the website of supporters from all across the country who have met Jose or heard about his story and have recorded themselves saying that I am Jose. Indeed, we are all Jose, because the experience of you, Jose, and Jose Jr. and your family is that those who fight for freedom by any means really are being criminalized. And Jose Jr., Jose Ivan, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your experiences. You've been touring with your dad. Tell us about the campaign and your experiences so far.
And so what we really do is that we often ask people to support us. We carry a lot of stuff, like wearing We Are Jose t-shirts, mm-hmm. carrying a flag.
I saw your two beautiful flags, We Are Jose.
Yes.
Yeah. So I also saw that you uploaded a video of yourself telling supporters and listeners from all across the country things that they can do to help out. So tell us some of the things that people have been doing and what things that people can do to assist the campaign.
They can do is like to upload videos stating that, for example, they go, my name is whatever their name is. I live in whatever it is. And I am Jose, which is the last line. Mm-hmm. It's a really simple video, just 5 to 10 seconds.
Yeah. So people should read about Jose Figueroa's case. And, you know, if they identify and they see the injustice, then they should upload a video as well. So how has this affected you and your family since you found out that your father is now facing a deportation order?
I wasn't really, really impressed about what the government have done to me. They have violated my rights as a Canadian. And now, whenever they deport me out of Canada, then I'm gonna lose my special education I've been receiving. Since my diagnosis of autism back in 2002.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're incredibly courageous, and I thank you for coming on the show with us tonight and coming all the way from Langley, B.C., and, you know, keep strong. We take a lot of inspiration from you, Jose Jr. And Jose Figueroa, before we conclude the show today, what are we looking to get out of the We Are Jose campaign? What are the main objectives?
Well, the main objective of the campaign is, well, because in some ways, everybody is Jose. Everybody has faced this kind of situation. And what we are waiting is that people unite their efforts in order to try to do something about the law. Try to get people to basically do something positive in this society. Mm-hmm. We have a petition going on among all the many activities that can be done in this. We are asking members of the community. We are asking members of different parties, mm-hmm. MPs of different parties, to join with us and give a solution to this. This petition was tabled already at the parliament, but we are asking members of the parliament to actually continue doing that. The only way that we can be heard is if everybody start thinking about this situation, mm-hmm. that it could happen to anybody. It's a matter of justice. It's a matter of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
The rights of my family really, really have been hurt. We know that the Minister of Public Safety could take 7 to 9 years to decide on an exception.
Wow.
Well, I tell you, I cannot get my family to get one more day even on the situations that we have been facing for the past 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's simple. People just call us, send us whatever way they can give us some support. Mm-hmm. We need means to mobilize, to move across the country.
Mm-hmm.
I am not meaning to ask for the main thing that I want from the community is their support. But there are needs that we need to face. My son and I have been hitchhiking.
I understand.
People has been helping us.
And you have a long way to go. And clearly you have made it this far because the people do support you. They see the justice in your cause. And before we conclude, I'll just say why Basics Community News Service supports your issue. We, as people can read from past stories that we've written and shows that we've done here on the radio show, the movement to criminalize liberation movements and people associated liberation movements is a movement by the Canadian government and Canadian imperialism even to crush resistance, to make this world safe for Canadian businesses and for, you know, international capitalism. And it's absolutely unacceptable. And most Canadians, if they knew the story of Jose, if they knew the story of most people who are going through this issue, they would be appalled. And this is why we do what we do. And it's you know, as I was telling you before the show, I was in El Salvador in December. I saw the beauty of the people and their cause and for their endless struggle for justice and freedom. And to call that terrorist is absolutely despicable. And the Canadian government is doing this all around the world with organizations and people and movements all around the world while they support criminal terrorist regimes in Colombia, in Sri Lanka, in Israel, in Rwanda. You know, countries that have killed tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, in some cases millions of people, while movements for liberation and justice are being criminalized, like yourself. So people can find out more about your case at
www.wearejose.com. And also, I just want to send this message. You know, there are many MPs that they have already started to show their support. We have the case of Mark Warawa. He's a member of the parliament in my area.
Mm-hmm.
We have the case of Peter Julian. We have the case of Dan Davis. Now, just recently, we heard about these other members of parliament. His name is Joe Volpe. He was with us yesterday at an event that we had at San Lorenzo Church. We want to thank all of them for their support, and well, hopefully some other members of parliament can come along and fix this historical mistake that they are doing against the Salvadoran community.
Indeed, and the more we do to get the word out, the more people will support. And if people are listening to the show tonight, and if they want to lend a hand, if they want to learn more or support Jose Figueroa, please call us at 416-736-5656. 736-5656. That's it. Call us here in the studio, Radio Basics, CHOI 105.5. Jose Jr., thank you so much for being in the studio with us tonight. We're going to go to a track, and we'll be back with a commercial.
Great foul mind, y'all.
Yes, sir. What up, Pete?
Great styles be the ghosts. 1-2.
I say open the door, let me in. Preacher says, turn the cheek, let it slide. Give a five on the black hand side.
The black hand side.
Oh, oh, oh.
Oh,
black
yeah.
Hand side. Black hand side. Oh, oh, oh. The black hand side.
Give me five on the black hand side. Tell you what I see through the black man's eyes.
Look like
chick in a Cadillac, a black man ride. But every different day, a different black man die. Shorty mama tripping off a crack mad eye. Now he watching TV, loving the bad guy. Piss poor with a welfare check. He know he African, cause he ain't
get healthier yet. No help. Now you put down his knapsack, got a crack pack. You don't understand if your vision ain't abstract. Me in the projects, a lot of us is lab rats. Voted for Obama, hoping he wouldn't have
that.
Now I can tell you that I felt hell. I still remember how a cell smells.
I still
remember how the pigs act. Then be crying up on the VI, couldn't dig that.
Open the door and teach your soul.
Pass the blunt around, hoping that it reach your soul. Now give me five on the black hand
five,
side.
Brother.
Ghosts and foul minds, watch the black man rise.
Yeah.
Open the door, let me in. Teach your soul, preach your sins. Turn the cheek, let it slide. Give five on the black hand side.
The black hand side.
Navajo chief, the way you're making it rain. But never full stripper with emotional pain. Do it despite the system, nourishment for the brain. Cause rain, seed, plus soil, you eat the fruits and grains. My hood told me keep it simple and plain. So let me explain the game. Break it down a couple of levels like Tetris. These youngins kill their own blood for a necklace. Leave slumped over the wheel of your Lexus. Smoke kush, wake up and eat breakfast. Like you expect. A generation overly obsessed with monsters. Our revolutionaries won Grammys and Oscars. Imposters, fake auras and weak shockers. Making a mockery of the music to be pop stars. And they say I'm insane. Cause I see the remains of the whips and the chains. In my hood where it ain't all good. Peep the pain of a single mother, she's struggling. Young child slain. Give me five on the black hand side. Let's maintain like the soul train. And keep it moving together, I'm saying.
Open the door, let me in. Teach us all, preach us in. Turn the cheek, let it slide. Give me five on the black hand side.
The black hand side.
Estás escuchando CHRY 105.5, tu estación de radio comunitaria. Escucha en vivo en nuestro sitio web www.chry.fm.
Radio Basics is back. This is Makaya. I am about to play this Pharoah Monch interview that I was lucky enough to be the interviewer for in New York City, as Steve said. The interview is exactly 15 minutes long, and we have about 12 minutes left in the show. So without further ado, here is the great Pharoah Monch.
It's day slash week.
Today is the release day. How is today different than all your other release days?
Oh man, this might be the happiest day slash week in my life. And it's like we partnered with Duck Down and this company to release this record, so it feels like I'm a store owner, small business, and you know, I've been opening my store early in the morning and closing late at night and giving people free whatever I sell in my store. Let's say it's pastries, and this is the grand opening, and the line's around the corner, and you know, the reviews on it's good, and it's, you know, I say that to say it's my store, and it's gonna work as hard as I work it and as much as the people like the product. So it's a different feeling now.
Would you say this is the most memorable day then? Like, from organized till now, most memorable?
Of incredible memories, but this is significant for that reason. In terms of just growth, business-wise and as an artist, and in spirit, because this album is not really about me, you know, per se. It's my sentiment. But I think it's really a collective consciousness. People want to evolve, not just music, but just spiritually and consciously in it. The album really, that's the vibe of it. It's kind of like, let's grow where we are. And so, you know, it's not about me in so many ways in that. The producers and features and engineers, label, you know, all were such a big part in making it happen. So I say my store, but or my baby or whatever, but I didn't raise it or build the store alone. It's like so many people contributed in this climate with budgets being what they are. You know, it's like very well-known artists going out of their way to contribute to a record that they, I think they felt a vibe or spirit about as well.
On Desire, your face is covered with the mummy. On Internal Affairs, your mouth is covered by the water. Is that conscious?
You know, it started as an artistic thing. Like, I like movies and films, so in my mind, I thought it, you know, on some comic book it would be fly to be coming up out of the water, Human Torch, you know, with half my face under the water. I thought it would be deep, and I like dark hip-hop. And then even, you know, of recently, I've been getting questions about that cover in terms of the Illuminati, but now it's ridiculous. So, I mean, it's mostly artistic, you know, and the music, and I think me wanting to say that the art is not really about me, but listen to the art, you know. They all correlate. The Pharaoh thing was real in that I felt like I didn't have a voice for a minute because I was going through so many label issues. So I wanted to be covered in Pharaoh, Mummy, and most recently, you know, the album deals with me discussing the asthma situation and environmental situations, and just it's ironic, you know, what's going on in Japan and what have you. I just seen the front cover of the Daily News of the lady with a gas mask. But dealing with asthma, sometimes it feels like I could look into the future and see how the environment is going, and it feels like we all might be wearing them in a minute. So it speaks to, hopefully, a vision that won't come true. But unfortunately, you know, the asthma, terrorism, environment.
Was there a time in your career that you really started to believe that you are one of the best?
I think the sentiment of the verses, top five all time, but I don't complete the statement because I'm just tired of hearing it, and it's really irrelevant or relevant to whom you're asking, you know. And my top five changes on a weekly basis, so, you know, and people put me in theirs, and most cases I'm not on people's radar, so I said it in just like top five, blah, whatever, does it really matter? But here's why I think the people who think that about me feel that way, and then I go on to continue the sentiment.
Do you think if you made different moves in your career, you could have been like a huge radio star?
I don't know. I think, you know, it really comes from within. You know, you will the universe, and you make moves based upon what you really want, you know. And I'm learning, not learning that now, but embodying that now, which is why I'm so happy in my skin, is because I never asked for that, you know what I mean? So I look at that and I'm like, that's not really important in this grand scheme of things, it's like I want to get the music to as many people as possible, and we're finding out different ways to do that. So to answer your question, to make certain music choices to make me a larger store, I've had a couple of situations where that might have been the case, and I just turned them down.
You critique the media and the radio. Is there a certain place that you like to get your news from, other than CNN?
Yeah, you know, you can't you can't really depend on CNN too tough. But I mean, we're overseas so much, so it's BBC, it's, what is it, Al Jazeera, it's, you know, just going online and trying to find out a various amount of different sources and trying to get different perspectives instead of just relying on, you know, one aspect.
I have a quote from your Twitter. You said, "War is about emancipation of your consciousness." When was the last time you had a moment that was like totally changed your way of thinking about something?
Happens, you know, quite frequently. You know what I'm saying? I speak to people, and most of my friends speak in this fashion. So we're basically, you know, they talk in a trying to be prolific way. So I get it all the time because I'm looking for inspiration to write songs and to just be like, wow, that's deep. And so, and even having an interview and discussing or talking about interviews, and again, I feel like I was having a conversation with my manager at South by Southwest, and we was leaving to go to the airport, and I was discussing a video for Assassins, and I was like, what it's about is I traveled through the desert to this church to meet this all-knowing person to ask him, what is this change that's going on with the planet? It's like the beginning of the video, and he talks about how things are evolving so slow that there are a limited amount of people who are getting it at a higher rate and evolving at a higher rate. Because what's happening in Assassins is like the different characters are being embodied with special powers. And so I started to think about the concept, and then I was like, I don't think that's too far off from reality. I think that the collective conscious that I'm talking about is just that in general. I think people are going to get left behind, and some people are going to be like, through the circumstances or through opening up, they're going to be like, this is it. We can't with this limited freedom or these conditions anymore, and it's basically on. And that is, in a physical sense, in a mental sense, like, I'm done with feeling this way about the asthma, and I'm take arms in terms of being active about doing something. So that ping in the head was the last time.
And unfortunately, we are out of time on Radio Basics tonight. I will bring you the last 6 minutes of that interview next time I host the show. You can also look out for the full video interview at poundmag.com. That'll be uploaded there shortly without the technical difficulties that we experienced this evening. I want to thank Yannick Anton for his last-minute editing skills. Please go check out his work at 88days.ca. Thank you to Jose and Jose Jr., our guests tonight. Please go check out the new Feral Monch video online. It's called Clap, and it's an amazing video dealing with police brutality, and I highly, highly recommend listeners to go out and check that out. Steve, do you have any words to say to the listeners?
Once again, you know, we had our very special guests, Jose Figueroa Jr. in the studio with us tonight. We really encourage people to check out his case and look at what the Canadian government, the Canadian state, is doing to those who were associated with movements that were fighting dictatorship. You know, we're getting a lot of information about what Canada is or isn't doing in Libya, claiming to be supporting a people's movement against Gaddafi while they're bombing people. Well, when we look at the case of Jose Figueroa, what we see is that the Canadian government is absolutely interested in criminalizing people who are associated with movements for liberation. Please support Jose. We are all Jose. We are Jose because we are all supporters of freedom and liberation. Check out wearejose.com. And, of course, check out basicsnews.ca for all the news and updates and analyses.
And you can email us at
basics.canada@gmail.com.
You can befriend us on Facebook. We're super friendly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every day I have the blues is coming up in a few.
Mm-hmm. But for now, that's all we got for tonight. Radio Basics on CHRY 105.5 FM. And Micaiah, I believe, is going to take us out on a track.
I'm going to take us out with one more Pharoah Monch track. The album is pretty dope. Check it out.
How many gorillas who actually kill is really rhyming? Artists that actually sign still killing. And when it comes to killing the mic, they not willing, and I'm supposed to be shook. That's just kill me. Take the bullet for Barack on a balcony, then vanish. Extinguish the sun when I drew a play pool with the planets. We all renegade, the movement outlandish. My issue straight from the soul. God damn it, it's the one time only. Vernacular, original, miraculous, spectacular flow. Computer digital, but piss upon a pitiful. Ridicule, minuscule. Foul march, you need to pop that ass like municipal and listen to an enigma. Anomaly, your mama nominated me for nominal, but dominated without a six pack abdominal. You can get 19 put through that like I'ma do. So what I'ma do is separate the falls from the US. You've amassed nothing trying to ball like UMass. So phenomenal with mics, I don't like myself. Sadomasochist them, see a bite myself. But not cameo though. There's no Grammy to show for the love that people hand me on the street and I overstand. Grade school mathematics examining thugs. They discuss blood scripts, text jamming and drugs. I speak world peace, war, famine, and flood.